The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
How should we understand Matthew 6, 14 and 15, where it talks about being forgiven, being conditioned on how forgiving we are? Are there different kinds of forgiveness in our relationship with God? Stay tuned. We will talk about it here on Grace in Focus, and so glad that you have joined us today, friend. This is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. The Grace Evangelical Society exists to promote focused free grace theology. Find out more about us at faithalone.org. There you will find our resources and you'll be able to access and read our daily blogs. That's faithalone.org. Now with our question and answer discussion for today, here are Bob Wilkin and David Renfro.
We have a question here from DL, which I think may be somebody from Asia, not sure. But DL says, in your recent article, you compare Matthew 6, 14 and 15 with 1 John 1, 7 and 9. And he's got some questions related to that. But before he does, David, how about reading Matthew 6, 14 and 15?
Okay. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses.
Okay, so the issue there is forgiveness, and it's saying we need to forgive others in order for the Father to forgive us. Now, DL also asked about 1 John 1, 7, and 9, which I discussed in an article. Could you read those?
Sure. 1 John 1, 7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Okay, so now here's what DL is asking. I think you didn't mention in your article what it means to born-again believers to be put out of fellowship, like in Matthew 6, 14, and 15. How does neither will your Father forgive your trespasses relate to the believer? And he goes on to say the same with 1 John 1, 7. If a believer walks in darkness, the blood of Jesus doesn't cleanse his sins. So what if I die and his blood doesn't cleanse me? I get the arguments that once I'm part of the family of God, no one can snatch me out. But what does this mean? So really good question from DL. And what I would suggest is that there's a difference between fellowship forgiveness, God forgiving us so that we can be in fellowship with him, and eternal security.
Right.
In other words, the moment I believe in Jesus, I'm eternally secure whether I'm in fellowship with God or not. So if I die out of fellowship with God, well, I die out of fellowship with God, but I'm still eternally secure.
You pay a price, but it's not losing your eternal salvation.
Right. The price is, at the judgment seat of Christ, I am not going to be chosen to be one of those who rule and reign with Christ.
Right.
Because I must endure. If we endure, we will reign with him.
That's
2 Timothy 2:12.
Mm-hmm.
So, if I die out of fellowship with him, I'm going to miss out on ruling and reigning with him. But I still lay up whatever treasure I laid up, Matthew 6, 19 to 21.
Right.
I'm still going to reap what I sowed in that regard. But I will miss out on the very important aspect of ruling with Christ and certain rewards that go along with that, like the right to the tree of life, the hidden manna, the special white garments, etc. So I think what bothers DL is he's equating fellowship forgiveness with eternal security. And so if I lack fellowship forgiveness, I must lack eternal security. Well, DL, look at it this way. If that were true, then the moment someone sinned against you and came and said, I repent, and you didn't forgive them, at that moment you'd lose your salvation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because if lack of fellowship forgiveness means I no longer am eternally secure, well, then you'd be saved, lost, saved, lost, saved, lost all through your life.
And you end your life not knowing if you're saved or not.
Right. Because what if you failed to forgive someone right at the end of your life? Or to go to 1 John 1:7, what if I stopped walking in the light a few days before I died? Or what if I stopped confessing my sins? Well, according to that view, I would lose everlasting life. See, the problem is we shouldn't equate being in fellowship with God with being born again. Because a person who is born again and out of fellowship with God is still born again.
Right.
So I think it's important to recognize this. That's why I believe some people go to the idea of positional forgiveness. Some people would say to D.L., well, what you have is God's already forgiven you of all your future sins. And so when you die, if you die out of fellowship with God, you're still forgiven, even though you're not forgiven. In other words, you're not forgiven in the fellowship sense. Now, maybe they would say, maybe some people would say, well, even though you died out of fellowship with God, the moment you die, you're now in fellowship with God. Oh, okay, maybe. It seems to me that Luke 15, which has the prodigal son who's out of fellowship with his father, I would suggest that when a person dies out of fellowship with God, they die out of fellowship with God.
Right.
It is hypothetically possible that when we are with the Lord, we're now back in fellowship with him. Okay, then God does apply 1 John 1:9 to us, because essentially what you could argue is, well, at that moment, of course, we're confessing our sins.
Just jumping in here to make you aware of our magazine, Grace in Focus. It is a bi-monthly, 6 issues per year, 48-page magazine, full color. And we want you to subscribe by emailing your name and your snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org. The subscription is free. It can be accessed electronically or it can be actually physically sent to you if you live in the lower 48 United States. That's our Grace in Focus magazine. Send your name and snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org.
Could you describe it as that once for all forgiveness would be judicial forgiveness?
Yes. In fact, in my opinion, there is no future forgiveness and there is no positional forgiveness. It is judicial, but it's not forgiveness.
Well, you know, there's eternal forgiveness, so to speak. It's one of the things that allows that everlasting life, doesn't it?
Or well, that's the way a lot of people take it. But here's the thing. Okay, what does forgiveness mean? Say I forgive you. Doesn't that mean then that we have restored fellowship? We were out of fellowship for a time, and I've forgiven you, and we've restored fellowship.
Right.
So let's say that there is some sort of future forgiveness, that God forgives me in the future, whether I confess it or not, whether I walk in the light or not.
Right.
Okay. Well, that doesn't mean restored fellowship.
No.
Because it can't mean that if I'm required to do something to have it, right? So therefore, you're calling it judicial forgiveness, right?
Oh, that was a word that came up.
But I've heard it with friends of mine, and they use something like that. In fact, they would equate it with justification, that I have right standing with God, and I can't lose that right standing. Well, okay, if you want to call that positional forgiveness, fine. But nowhere in Scripture does it say that God forgives our future sins. There are a few places like Colossians 1 and Colossians 2 that say he's forgiven us all our trespasses. But I think that fits with all of our trespasses up to this point. If I'm walking in fellowship with God, he's forgiven all my trespasses. But he doesn't forgive me in a fellowship sense in advance, and I think all forgiveness is fellowship related. But I understand there's a lot of people have positional, and basically they're coming back to D.L.'s question.
Yeah, that's where he's getting it. There's the, quote, judicial one that I mentioned earlier. But then on a daily basis, to keep our relationship intimate with our Lord, we confess our sins. And of course, I've heard too, you've probably heard it too, if we confess our sins, that's really for our sake, that we have the mind of God. Yes, we did violate one of God's laws.
Sure.
And to confess means we're doing what God wants us to do, and that restores that intimate relationship. So that's why some people, I think, have the two different ones. The judicial one, which is based on what Jesus did. But then there is the temporal one that we, what First John says,
right,
confess, and that restores fellowship.
Right. Or
like what you call fellowship forgiveness.
Right. But I would even say retains it, because if a person is walking in the light of God's word, 1 John 1:7, and he's confessing his known sins, 1 John 1:9,
mm-hmm.
I would argue the person continues to walk in fellowship. It's not that he's in fellowship, out of fellowship, in fellowship, out of fellowship, but
right.
It's continuous fellowship because the blood of Jesus continually cleanses and God continually forgives as we acknowledge the sins we're aware of. It's only when we go to the spiritual far country, we now need to repent to get back in fellowship.
Right.
Not everybody agrees with all this, of course. But here's something I think we can agree with. It sounds like you hold to the positional forgiveness, or you're calling it judicial forgiveness view.
Positional for judicial.
Yeah.
We were taught that.
And, at Dallas Seminary.
And it made, yeah. At the time, it made sense to me. And I haven't heard a strong enough argument yet. I'm open.
Yeah.
But I haven't heard to say that that does not exist.
Okay, y'all. I'm going to keep working on David and see if I can bring him around to my view, which is that all forgiveness is fellowship.
Bob wants me to repent.
I do. Come around. No, but there's not a major difference, especially if what you recognize, and DL needs to recognize this, is forgiveness, fellowship forgiveness is not the same as eternal security.
I agree.
I'm eternally secure even if I'm out of fellowship with God. The prodigal son was a son of his father, mm-hmm. before he went to the far country, while he was in the far country, and when he returned. The issue was his fellowship. In fact, the father says, "This my son who was dead is alive again." What that means is he was alive before he went away. He's alive when he gets back, and the alive part means in fellowship with me. And when he was in the far country, he wasn't in fellowship with me. He was dead to me in terms of fellowship.
Right.
But he was still a son the whole time. And so what I would say to DL is stand on verses like John 3:16. Whoever believes in him will never perish, but has ever lived. Look at all the nevers. Never hunger, never thirst, never die, never perish, never be cast out. So stand on that. And recognize that fellowship forgiveness is not the same as the guarantee of everlasting life.
I agree.
And in the meantime, what do we do?
Keep grace in focus.
Read many from our library of thousands of free magazine and journal articles online at faithalone.org/resources. That's faithalone.org.
Did you miss an episode of Grace in Focus that you really wanted to hear? Just come to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We have all our past episodes right there on the site. Our team is really great about answering questions, comments, and feedback. If you've got some, we hope to hear from you. Let me give you our email address so you can do just that. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On our next episode, we'll have another question and answer for you. Be sure to tune in. Until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.